Please open up your Bibles. As this is a Mission Sunday, we will be looking at Matthew chapter 28, and we will be looking at the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of the last words he said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, and to go and prepare a place for us. And from there he will return to come and fetch us and to take us to be with him forever and ever. Matthew chapter 28. We will be reading from verse 16 just to get some background, but our focus will be on verses 18 to 20 this morning. Now with your Bibles open, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning. In the name above all names, the only name through which we can be saved, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who started our faith and who will finish it, who brings salvation, and there is salvation through no one except Christ. It's in that name that we come to you, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ who gave us the Great Commission that we come to you this morning to pray that you will open up our hearts to receive your word, open up our minds to understand your word, Father, so that at the end of the day, we can obey what you call us to obey. And Father, thank you so much that we can do it because of your spirit that indwells us, that dwells within each believer, and who enables us to do what you have called us to do. So Father, as we look at your word, please, may your word accomplish that which you set it out to accomplish. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, there's one positive thing about Tuesday mornings, and it happened this past week, is sometimes people will rock up at the church, and what they would do is they would ask for something, you know, like food or money to travel or things like that, because one of the good things that we still have is that people understand when you come to church, and you come and speak to somebody at the church, you are speaking to a Christian. You are speaking to somebody who loves sinners, who loves people who needs to be helped, and we try to help as far as we can. And that's still a good thing, if people can still think they can come to a church to get some help. And it's wonderful if we can help people. And I believe that the way that we show love towards our neighbors is if we help wherever it's possible. Now, on Tuesday morning, a young man, 29 years old, came to the church. He asked for some help. He was on his way somewhere. And I had the privilege of spending some time with him and sharing the gospel, quite a little bit of time. We sat under the pepper tree, and I could share the gospel with him. Not only the good news of Jesus Christ coming to take away our sin, to forgive us of our sin, and to cleanse us from our sin, but also the bad news, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and explain to him and try to get him to the point where he understood that he is not a good person because he believes he's a good person, but that he's actually a wretched sinner just like anybody else in need of a Savior. And it was amazing how arrogant he was in the beginning and how he would try to kind of convince me how good he was, until his life was exposed by the gospel, by the Ten Commandments. I just used the Ten Commandments to show him. And he confessed, or he admitted, that he is a liar, fornicator, he's a thief, he's a blasphemer, he's a drug addict, and he's a drunkard. And at the end of the day, he realized he's not a good person at all. If he compares himself to maybe other people who are worse than him, yes, he's a good person. But when he compares himself to God's moral law, he can do nothing else but to admit that he's a wretched sinner. And I could share the good news of the gospel with him and present to him Christ Jesus, God's only solution for sinners like us. At one stage, he actually accused me as well, and I said to him, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. And that kind of kept his mouth shut for a while, because he realized, I'm not coming from the heights trying to convince him that he's bad and I'm good, but I was trying to tell him that we are all bad in need of a Savior. But what a privilege. I could not do what Matthew 28 actually says, because Matthew 28 says we should not make converts, but we should make disciples of all nations. Now, and I couldn't do that because he was on his way to another town. And at one stage, and this is not to blow my own bugle, you just know my situation. And on Tuesday morning, I was in quite a bit of pain because I was doing some work at the back. And being in pain, and he could see that I was in pain, trying to get up and struggling to get up because I wanted to go and fetch some money and to give it to him so he can travel. And as I wanted to get up, he said to me, but I can go with you. You don't have to go alone. I can go with you because I can see you're in a lot of pain. And at that stage, I said to him, you know what? The little bit of pain that I'm experiencing to go and see if I can help you on your way to where you need to go is nothing in comparison to what Christ Jesus suffered on our behalf. I said, remember, Jesus gave his life. But he didn't give his life to friends. He didn't give his life to people who are worthy. He gave his life to his enemy. People who are in enmity against him. People who was crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And yet he was willing to die on their behalf. So I said to him, the little bit of pain that I experience now in trying to help you is nothing in comparison to what Christ did. And I want you to remember that. Not remember what I'm doing, but to remember what Christ has done. It was amazing to see this young man, how from an arrogant, self-righteous person, he was quiet. Even when he walked away from the church, you could see that God was busy with him. So I want you to please pray for him. I'm not going to give him his name to you, but please pray for this young man. God knows who he is. I actually prayed that the Lord will keep him awake and that he wouldn't fall asleep until he made his life right with God, and that he gets to a good Bible-believing church where he can be discipled to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But what a privilege. Because it's been a while since I've had the privilege of sharing the gospel with someone. So that was just, it just stood out in my week as, let's say, one of the greatest things I have in a week is when I prepare for the sermon on a Sunday, knowing that I have the privilege to share God's word with you. But this week, sharing the gospel with a wretched sinner like myself was just amazing. And that's the Great Commission. That's what Jesus Christ told his disciples. That's what Jesus Christ basically commanded his disciples, instructed his disciples to do, is not to keep quiet about the hope that they have in them, but to go out into the world and share with whoever is willing to listen, to share the good news of the gospel, to share with them that we are all wretched sinners and we need a Savior. And that's the wonderful, awesome thing. And that's what I would like us to focus in on this morning as we look at the theme for this morning, obedience in fulfillment of the Great Commission. And this is what Jesus says right at the end of the gospel according to Matthew. This is kind of Jesus' last words. We read his last words actually in the book of Acts when Jesus ascends into heaven and where he is now preparing a place for us and from where he will return. But in Matthew chapter 28, this is the words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. And in fact, not only his disciples, I believe every single disciple of Jesus Christ throughout all the ages up to today, where we are commanded by Christ to do what he has commanded his disciples to do. So let's read from verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. And you will see and notice there's only 11 disciples because Judas Iscariot already died. The one who betrayed Christ no longer there. So there's 11 disciples left. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. An amazing group of words, amazing few verses. It kind of ends off the gospel according to Matthew. But what a command. What a command that Jesus Christ gives his disciples. And what I've noticed as I was preparing, I noticed three things. The first thing is, I noticed the authority that Jesus is speaking about in his this great commission. The second thing, I noticed his command, what he commanded. And the third thing I noticed is the promise that Jesus gave his disciples. And remember that Jesus Christ is the one who is to be obeyed. He is the head of the church. He is our Savior, and whatever he says is our command. That's what we should be doing, whatever he told us to do. So those are the three things that I would like us to focus in on a little bit this morning. The first one is the authority of the one who we are supposed to obey. Look at verse 18 again. Jesus said to his disciples, this is to the 11, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. All authority has been given. I want you to see the fact that this is written in the past tense. It's not as if Jesus is going to receive authority some other time in the future. No, Jesus Christ says, all authority has been given unto me. So he has already received all the authority. And when did he receive it? Obviously, he received it when God the Father accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Remember that Jesus Christ, when he died, he was a perfect sacrifice for our sin. And God the Father had to accept his sacrifice so that it can actually pay for the sins of sinners. And when God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because he was the perfect Lamb of God who died, when God accepted his sacrifice, God gave Jesus Christ all authority. He received all authority, but in heaven and on earth. All authority belongs to him. Now, this word all in the Greek is the word pas, which means a totality or a whole. It means that all possible authority that exists belongs to Jesus. I need you to allow that to sink in. All authority that exists belongs to Jesus Christ. And what Jesus does is he delegates some of that authority. And he did it to his disciples when he told them, therefore, look at verse 19. Go therefore. Why should they go? Because he has all authority. That's the reason why they can go. So what he does is he says, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because I have all authority, now you go. And you go in that authority that I have. You don't go in your own authority. You go in the authority that Jesus Christ has, because he has all authority. He has absolute authority. He has the utmost authority. He has supreme authority. When you go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, earlier in the gospel, according to Matthew, we read the words, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. The words of Jesus, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, Jesus said. Beloved, we need to understand who Jesus is. We need to understand what it means that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Not just some authority, he has all authority. In John chapter 3, verse 35, we read, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. And you remember that word, all, means everything. It excludes nothing. Everything is included, which means that Jesus Christ has ultimate authority Everything belongs to Him. He is supreme over everything. And if He is, then it means that He is the one who can now tell His disciples, go. Because He has the authority to tell them to go. But what does it mean that Jesus has all authority? I believe, firstly, it means that no one or nothing has more or even equal authority to Jesus. Nothing or no one. They don't even get close. Nobody gets close to the authority that Jesus Christ has. But secondly, it means that Jesus can demand anything and people must obey Him. I want you to be clear on this. Jesus can demand anything He wishes and people has to obey Him. And the reason is because He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And by the way, He's the only one who can demand. If you listen to the news, I just hear people, we demand this and we demand that. It's just demands upon demands upon demands. On whose authority? Who gives normal human beings the authority to demand anything which they have not received by grace? The only one who can demand is Christ. And let me tell you, He demands certain things, even though people do not obey Him. But He demands certain things. And in the message for this morning, Jesus demands obedience to the Great Commission. He demands obedience to every single believer to go and to make disciples of all nations. Non-negotiable. It's a demand. Jesus expects obedience. So when Jesus says, go and make disciples, He could demand it. And the reason why He could demand it is because He has all authority. He has supreme, ultimate authority to do so. Now just note this verse 18 again, beloved. He has all authority where? In heaven and on earth. Nothing is excluded. Can you see that? He has all authority in heaven and on earth. That means Jesus Christ has authority over Satan. He has authority over all the fallen angels, which means the demons, evil spirits. He has authority over the seraphim and the cherubim. He has authority over the archangel. He has authority over all angelic beings. He has all authority over every single thing that is spiritual. He has ultimate authority in heaven. By the way, that tells us something about His deity, the fact that He is God. Because the only one that has authority in heaven is God, isn't it? But Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. And He has authority in heaven because He is God. But He also has authority over all the earth. Not just the heavens, over all the earth, all the animals, everything that exists, His whole creation, all the monarchs on this earth, all the political leaders, every single person that has position on this earth, any person that thinks they have authority, everyone is under the authority of Jesus Christ. They are all subject to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, this is something that I've just noticed again this past week. It's amazing to see how people, if they are not confronted with the fact that Jesus Christ has all authority, He is Lord, which means He is supreme in authority, He is King, He is Master, He is the one who is supposed to be obeyed. If the church does not go into the world and boldly proclaim the authority of Jesus Christ over everything, heaven and earth, if we do not proclaim that, it is as if some people would think that they can now take the place of Jesus Christ. And they try to take all authority. And let me tell you, if governments do not acknowledge the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ over heaven and earth, then government will start deifying itself. Just basically means that government will try to play God in the lives of other people. It's happened through all the ages, remember? The gospel according to Matthew was written in a period of time when the Roman Empire was in charge. You remember that the Roman Empire was an evil empire? And what they had in those days was what we call Caesar worship. They would cry out in Greek and say, Caesar Kurios, which basically meant Caesar is Lord. And people had to bow their knees before Caesar. It's like what happens in North Korea with Kim Jong-un. People have to worship him as the leader of North Korea. He is of the opinion that he has all authority. He is Lord. He is the one who has to be obeyed above all things. And if you don't obey me, what he will do is he will kill you. Throw you in prison. Kill you. It happened in communist countries all over the world. It happened with Hitler. It happens with every single dictator on the face of this planet. They get to the point where they believe they are Kurios. They believe that they are Lord. They believe that they have the authority that Jesus Christ alone has, because they will always want to replace Christ. And it's part of the function of the church to declare boldly that Jesus Christ alone has all authority, and everybody has to obey Him. And I think, I could be mistaken, but I think in what I have seen in the church is that the church is submitting to earthly authority rather than the authority of Jesus Christ. It's as if the church is no longer boldly proclaiming the supremacy and the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord, as King. And remember, when we say to the state, to the government, that there is one Lord, there's one King to be obeyed, there's one King that is supreme, that has all authority, and He delegates His authority in a certain sense to certain things, like the government has certain authority that is given to them by God, and they cannot overstep those boundaries. The moment we say that, we become persecuted. That's why the church has always been persecuted through all the ages, because governments cannot handle it that there is another Kurios, because they believe they are Kurios. That's because the church has been quiet about the fact that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. Jesus Christ alone is King. There is no other King. So when Jesus says He has received authority, all authority in heaven and on earth, He is saying that He is supreme over everything. And I think the church needs to get to the point where we boldly proclaim the supremacy of Christ, the authority of Christ. And we're not doing it in our own authority. We're doing it because Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and earth, therefore go. Therefore, now go and proclaim. Therefore, now go and make disciples. Therefore, now go and obey what I have told you. And we have to obey Christ because He has authority, all authority over us. Jesus has all authority, and when He tells us to go, we go because He has given us, or He has all authority. A very good example of this, just a quick example, is in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John, you remember, this is early in the book of Acts. So the church just started. Peter had this amazing sermon that he preached. And Peter and John goes to the temple for the hour of prayer. And then they saw a lame man, a man that was lame from birth. And in verse 6 of chapter 3 of the book of Acts, we read the words where Peter said, looking at this man that is lame, he says to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You know why Peter could say that with boldness? It's because he believed that Jesus Christ sent him with his authority to go and do what he did. Peter had faith in Jesus Christ's authority. He understood that Jesus Christ had all authority in heaven and earth. And even if there was demonic beings involved in this thing, they have to bow the knee before Jesus Christ. And even lameness has to bow the knee before Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has authority even over sickness, over disease, over pain, over suffering. Jesus has ultimate authority. And in this case, they executed that authority. "I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up." And the man got up, lame from birth. Because Jesus Christ can heal. He has all authority. So the lame man was healed. And later when Peter and John was arrested, why? Because they healed someone. How ridiculous can that be? That they are arrested, brought before the Sanhedrin, because they healed a lame man that was lame from birth. You see, that's how delusional religious leaders can become. That they think, because they also thought that they had more authority than Jesus Christ. That's why they could think that now they can get Peter and John and come and stand before them, put them on trial, and at the end of the day tell them, "You will not speak in the name of this Jesus Christ anymore." Because the Jewish leaders at that stage, they became God of their own lives. They became so great among the people. They were religious leaders, became so great that they would not submit to the authority of Jesus Christ any longer. Bad place to be. But let me tell you, there are many today that are in religious leaders, or that are religious leaders, who have become lord of their own lives instead of submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Anyway, when you get to chapter 4, verse 10, we read the following. This is after Peter and John was arrested. Peter said the following, "Let it be known to you all," this is to the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, "and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." Wow, what a declaration. Now, because we understand that Peter and John, specifically Peter at this stage, full of the Holy Spirit, he understood what Jesus said. He understood that Jesus Christ has all authority. That's why he could make this declaration, this amazing, bold declaration to all the religious leaders sitting in front of him. Remember, there was no higher religious authority than the Sanhedrin in the Jewish community. Né? And they're standing before them, and they declare to them, it is... And this is what Peter says, "I want to say to all of you religious leaders and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," which means in his name, in his authority, it's because of Jesus Christ that has all authority, it's in his name, "whom you crucified, you killed him, and whom God raised from the dead," which means that God confirmed that Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice, "and by him this man stands before you whole." What a declaration. What an amazing declaration. You see, Peter and John knew that the one who has all authority, that he was able to do what he did, and it was in his name that they acted. At the end of the trial, which was a joke, and I put it in inverted commas, because these religious leaders had nothing against Peter and John, except that they were healing somebody who was sick from birth. The end of the trial, Peter and John defended themselves before the Sanhedrin, and this is what they said to them in chapter 4, verse 19. Listen to these words. Peter saying to them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge." It's as if he's saying to them, you've become judges, you've become Lord. You decide whether it's more important to obey God than to obey man. He says, verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And what have they heard from Christ? That he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And because of that authority, Jesus sent them into the world to go and make disciples. See, the Sanhedrin believed they had all authority, but Peter and John both heard Jesus tell them that he had all authority and that he was sending them in his authority. Absolutely amazing. Jesus, with all of his authority, commanded Peter and John to go and to make disciples, and that's what they did. And you know how it starts to make a disciple? It starts with preaching the gospel, no? In Peter and John's case, they were still laying the foundation of the church, and the healing that took place kind of confirmed that Jesus Christ is Kurios, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. It confirmed the fact that Jesus Christ is above everything else, and that's why when they healed this man, it was confirmation of who Jesus Christ was, and it was part of Jesus' command for them to go. They were fulfilling the Great Commission. They were obedient to Christ. And because they knew Jesus was the one who sent them, because they knew that Jesus had all authority, it gave them boldness. You can see the boldness here in Peter and John. Hey? They became bold. They were not acting in their own authority. They were not acting in their own strength. They were acting in the authority of Jesus Christ himself, and they were acting in the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, because in Acts chapter 1 it says, "You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Remember that? So full of the Holy Spirit's power and in the authority of Jesus Christ, that's what moved Peter and John to preach the gospel, to start doing what God called them, what Christ called them to do. It gave them boldness. Now, beloved, if we believe that Jesus Christ has all authority, it will influence the way that we speak to people. We don't speak to people with arrogance. We come to people with love. But it will influence the way that we speak to people, the way we would preach the gospel, if we understand that Jesus Christ has all authority. And it's that in that authority that he sent us to go into all the world. If believers do not really believe or understand that Jesus has ultimate authority and that we go out in his authority, that is when our mouths are shut up. That's when we keep quiet. That's when government mandates to obey certain things, we would rather obey government than obey Christ. Because if we have a misunderstanding of authority, then we will act in accordance to our misunderstanding. And normally, if we do not understand that Jesus Christ has all authority and it's in that authority that we are sent out, then we will give in to fear. We will fear people and not preach the gospel to them. We will fear the government and the mandates of government and not obey Christ. If we do not understand that he has ultimate authority and he has sent us out in that authority. All right, so that's our first thing. We notice the authority of the one who is to obey, be obeyed. And the second thing we notice in our passage is the command of the one who is to obey, to be obeyed. Listen to verse 19 again. And here's the command. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." There's the command. Basically, four things is commanded there. First one is, go to all the nations of the earth. Second, make disciples of them. Third, baptize them. Fourth, teach them. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to go to the Jewish people, did he? Just go to Israel. Or, yeah, not just Israel, but just go to Israel and the surrounding nations, you know, the countries that just surround. Don't go too far, as far as you can drive with your car or get on a donkey and drive with a donkey. That's as far as you must go. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, go to all the nations of the earth. All the nations should hear the gospel. All the nations, people in those nations should be made disciples of Jesus Christ, which means they should become followers of Jesus Christ. Now, just in this, the first part of Jesus' command, go, make disciples of all the nations, destroys this idea that we have that Christianity is a white man's religion. What a bunch of baloney. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. And where did it start? It started with a bunch of Jews. 11 Jewish men who started preaching the gospel. And they preached to different people. They preached to different nations. They went to different nations. They went to India. The gospel went to North Africa. It went into Europe. It went into different places with different nations, ethnic groups. Now heard the gospel and disciples were made. Christianity is not a white man's religion. Christianity is it's not a religion. Christianity is to come into a living relationship with the living God and its people from all nations of the earth that needs to be made disciples. And by the way, the word all hopefully still means all. All nations means all nations. All ethnic groups. In our modern days, people of all races. Jesus wants people from all the nations of the earth to follow him as disciples, to obey him, to obey his commands and go out and obey him in the Great Commission. That's what we are supposed to be doing anyway. It's amazing what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. See the focus on all? Because the gospel is not only for a few. It's for all the nations, in all the earth. And the only way that people can hear is if there are people that go. That's why it's part of the command to go. Otherwise, it's very simple to sit in church, very easy to stay in Newcastle, very easy to work in KwaZulu-Natal and to work in Cape Town in South Africa. You don't have to travel that far, but to go, different story altogether. Laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to go into his field. And in our day and age that we're living in, with all the restrictions because of COVID, what are the missionaries doing? We are the new missionaries that goes out and preaches the gospel. It's amazing how a virus or a pandemic can prevent people from doing what the one who has all authority has commanded us to do. How it just keeps the church quiet and prevents people from moving around. Instead of getting onto a plane or getting onto a bicycle and driving over the borders to wherever God is calling you to go and preach the gospel, because that's what he commanded us to do. Jesus has all authority. And it's in that authority that we go. Beloved, we need to start thinking biblically. I believe that our thinking has been changed and we've become so worldly in our thinking that we don't think biblically anymore. We don't have a biblical worldview when it comes to the world around us. We have a worldly understanding of the world, a humanistic understanding of the world, and not a biblical one. The Roman Empire was hostile, very hostile, yet people went out and preached the gospel. In China, you couldn't go into China and preach the gospel in China. Missionaries went into China and they preached the gospel. They would smuggle Bibles into China knowing that if they are caught, they would be persecuted or prosecuted and they would go to jail or they would die. Still, people obeyed. Why? Because Jesus commanded us to go. It's not our choice. It's a command. It's amazing how we would rather obey the world than obey Christ. And I think it's got something to do with our understanding of He has all authority. Because if we do not understand that He has all authority, the reason why we don't go is because we don't think that He can keep us when He sends us. He cannot look after us when He sends us. He cannot protect us when He sends us because we think that Jesus Christ is a Mickey Mouse. Instead of Him being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that has all authority, and that we need to proclaim to the world. Jesus is Lord. He alone is Lord. No one else is Lord but Jesus Christ and Him alone. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And He's going to judge this world in righteousness one day. And we're going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ one day and we're going to give an account of what we've done in this life, in this flesh of ours, whether it be profitable or non-profitable, good or bad. We need to understand who Christ is. And that's the only time we will actually obey His command. But if we have a wrong understanding, if we are serving a wrong Jesus, a Jesus that is not biblical, let me tell you, that's when we start doing our own thing. That's when we disobey Him, if we do not understand who He is. But Jesus also, in this command, He commands His disciples to make disciples. So disciples need to make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. A disciple is somebody who follows in the footsteps of somebody else. So if I am a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ, it means I follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. I obey Him completely. I do what He tells me to do. That's what I'm doing. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus says, go and make disciples, which means go and make followers like you are followers. The problem in today's world is there are too many converts and too few disciples. There are many who profess with their mouth that they know Jesus Christ, or they've given their heart to Jesus Christ, or they invited Jesus into their little hearts, or whatever. Many that profess that, but people do not follow Jesus Christ. That's why they cannot make disciples, because they are not even following Jesus Christ. How in the world can you teach somebody or lead somebody to follow Jesus Christ if you yourself are not following Him? Disciple making can only be done by disciples. That's what Jesus says, make disciples of all nations, not converts, disciples. And then He also commands His disciples to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, there's the Trinity right there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We baptize in the name of the Trinity, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we identify with Jesus Christ. We are somebody that is baptized says that I identify, I understand that Jesus Christ died on my behalf, and I have died to sin, and I have been forgiven of my sin, and I've been washed of my sin. Identification, and then proclamation in saying to the congregation or saying to the world that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. So to baptize them is part of Jesus' command. And then thirdly, He commanded His disciples to teach the new disciples to observe all things. Just read verse 20 again. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Can you see that word again? Amazing word. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Why? Because I have all authority, and in that authority I am commanding you to do that. And that's why at times, beloved, you might not be happy with what I teach you. Because I have to teach you everything that Jesus commanded. That's the good stuff and the bad stuff. because there are stuff that Jesus commanded us to do that we don't want to do. That's not easy to do. Yet if I want to make disciples, as Jesus commanded us to do, I have to teach you to observe all things that Jesus Christ commanded us. Every single one of his commands. And let me tell you, there are many. All right, so we've seen in our passage, who is the one who has all authority? And we also saw the command he wants us to obey. And then thirdly, we notice the promise. Look at verse 20. And this is the beautiful promise. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Beautiful words, isn't it? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And once again, we see the deity of Christ here. Because it's only God that is omnipresent, isn't it? It's only God that is omniscient. It's only God that has time and everything in his hands, isn't it? Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, which means he will stay alive until the end of the age, and we're already 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus Christ. It tells us that he is eternal. He is God. He is divine. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and this is amazing how Matthew starts the gospel. He says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation that God became flesh to come and save sinners, wretched sinners like us. And this is how Matthew starts his gospel, speaking about Emmanuel, God with us, and he ends off with the gospel of Matthew, and he says, Jesus will be with us always until the end of the age. Yes, he is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. He ascended into heaven, but how is Jesus present with us? The third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit, dwells in believers, and that's how Christ is present with us right now. And he never leaves us, nor forsake us. So when we, obedient to his command to go, he's with us. He protects us. He leads us. He guides us. He has all authority to do whatever he commands or demands to be done. He has authority to do it. Christ has it all. And he says to his disciples, when I send you to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you, Jesus says, I am with you. You're not on your own. You're not going out all by yourself. I am with you. What a promise. What a promise, beloved. What a promise. See, Jesus was with his disciples in the flesh when he was busy with his earthly ministry, and after he ascended through the Holy Spirit, he is still present, was present with his disciples then, he is still present with us now, and he's been present with every single believer throughout all the ages up to where we are now. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he is faithful. Amazing God we serve. Missionaries know that Jesus are with them, because if they didn't know that, they will be up for the ride of their life. I remember when there were times when we were in danger as I went out to preach the gospel, especially when we spoke about ancestral worship and the Zionist movement and things like that, that the people didn't want to hear about, and the young people became aggressive towards us. You know what was one of the things that kept us? We knew that Christ was with us. Whether I stayed alive or whether I died, Christ would never leave me nor forsake me. I didn't just know it in my head. I knew it in my heart. And I still know it today. Because this is what Jesus said. He has all authority. He can do whatever he pleases whenever it pleases him. He commands us to go, and he says, and he gives the promise that he will always be with us till the end of the age. For every single believer, that is true. Wow. What a God we serve. Let me conclude. Beloved, Jesus demands obedience. And he demands obedience to the Great Commission. And the reason why is because he has all authority to demand obedience. And Jesus expects us as believers to go to all the nations, to baptize them, make disciples of those nations, and to teach them to observe all things and be obedient to everything that Jesus commanded us to be obedient about. And Jesus promised us that he will never, ever leave us alone. He will be with us even till the end of the age. So the question that remains, and that's for each one of us to answer individually, as we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us where we stand with him. And the question is, do you obey him? Do you understand that he has all authority? And because he has that authority and he tells you to go and commands you to go, do you obey him? If you're not obeying him, then it's time to repent. And all I'm telling you this morning is to obey what Jesus commanded. He commanded me to tell you to obey him. If you're not doing it, you need to repent. Turn to him and say, Lord, I want to be obedient, and then go out and be obedient. If you are obedient, praise the Lord, may you continue to be obedient and with boldness make disciples of all nations. And I want to ask you a question. If it says to every single believer, make disciples, do you have someone or two people or three people or whoever, how many ever that you are discipling at this moment? That you are teaching to observe everything that Christ commanded you? Is there somebody like that in your life? Because if it's not, you're not obeying Christ. And you should. Because Christ demands obedience. May the Lord help us to be obedient to him in all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning, and even though it's hard when you command us to do things which are difficult at times, thank you that we can know you promised us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are with us. Thank you for your ever presence with us. Thank you for your power through your Holy Spirit that indwells us, that he enables us to be bold witnesses unto you. And thank you that you have all authority, and in that authority you send us into this world. Make it alive in us, Father, we pray, please, in Jesus' precious name.